just call upon Him and ask for that which they stand in need of. In the book of Revelations, in the 21st chapter, is where we'll be reading from this morning. And the Lord laid this on my heart, and I want to try to give to you what He gave to me. And I believe it'll be a blessing to all of us if we will just look beyond this veil of sorrow where we're at today, this valley that is overcast. I know the weather today is overcast, but how many feel like this year has been a total fog upon your life? We just go from one situation to another. And I believe, Brother Ray, it's all pointing toward the signs of the end, that any day now the Lord could come and gather His children and take them home to be with Him. And won't it be wonderful there, having no burdens to bear? The Lord Himself, Jesus Christ, is coming. He's not going to send one of the angels, but He's coming in the clouds of glory to get His church and take it home to be with Him. And in the book of Revelations, in the 21st chapter, starting at verse 1 down through and including verse 5 today, He says in verse 1, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the whole city, holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.' And He that sat upon the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And He said unto me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.'" Amen. That's some good scripture reading, is it not? One day, the Lord is going to fix everything that is wrong in this world and in our lives. He's going to fix it all. In fact, heaven's going to fix it all, ain't it? He said that John saw these things while he was there on the Isle of Patmos, a volcanic island, that there was no life. There was no vegetation. There was nothing that he could live on. It was a desolate place. It was a prison. It was a death sentence to be sent to the Isle of Patmos. But even with a death sentence, John had the time of his life. In a place where he should have been dead, he was living and thriving and writing to us some things that he saw. Some of them, he said it was unlawful for him to even utter the things that he saw. In fact, God told him, "Don't write. Don't write. Put your pen down," as he told Daniel. "Put it down. It's enough. There's enough in this book, if we'll read it, that it ought to make everybody want to go to heaven. And nobody ought to want to go to hell for eternity." But John saw all these things, and he described it as a bride adorned for her husband. And I believe all of us today, that we say that one of the most beautiful sights there is when we see a young lady appear through the doors, walking down the aisle to give her life to her husband to be. And you see, I believe it was important for John to write this because to let us know that the church is pure. God is pure. There's nothing that's undefiled about either one of them. If there's anything defiled in the church, it's us and the lives that we live today. But in verse 3, he said that the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and him and God himself shall be with them and be their God. He's not going to leave us here. Church, you ought to be excited that when the Lord comes, we're going up to be with him. He will be with us, but we will be with him in that city that John saw coming down. And it'll be a city like we have never seen before. But that's not what makes heaven so special. What makes heaven so special are the things that John went on to describe, that many of us today have got upon our minds and upon our hearts, that we don't know what is coming next into our lives. We don't know what's going to happen this afternoon or tomorrow, or what the future of our country is, and what's going to happen to our health and the health of those that we love and we care for. What's going to happen when all these things come to pass? And I believe that there are many of us that are concerned about the future of our lives and of our country and even our churches. Let me preach this morning. Our churches will have changed drastically in this year to where that we are limited on what we can do and when we can do it and how many can do it, be there in the building. And while we're limited, the world is running rampant. They don't put a number on some of them, but they put a number on what can be in the church house, and that we can't. There ought not be no singing. There ought not be no preaching. It will be next. And I look at all these things and say, God, we need your help. We need your help, that we might be able to get past all these things. And if even we don't get past them, Lord, we know that tomorrow is going to be better than what today is. And tomorrow being the day that the Lord either comes in the clouds of glory, or he calls us home to be with him. And I hear that testimony from that sweet mother that says that I'm tired. I'm ready to go. I hear that testimony from a brother that says that I'm weary, I'm wore out, and this sickness has gotten a better part of me, but I'm ready to go. I hear that from many that are battling with sicknesses to where they're just ready to give up and say, Lord, just take me on home to be with you, because they know it's better there than what it is on this side of the river. But John said that when he saw all these things, that everything that we face in this life is going to be taken care of. Heaven is going to fix it all. That's my text this morning. Heaven's going to fix it all. He said that there'll be no more death. Death will be eliminated. It'll be annihilated, because the last thing to be put under control of God is death itself. We're not going to a place where there's dead people, Brother Charlie. We're going to a place where there's people that's alive, and they're rejoicing around the throne of God for all eternity. Some say that when we die, we're just a floating spirit out there in the atmosphere, or somewhere out there in the galaxies. But the Bible says that when we get to heaven, we're going to have a brand new body, likened unto God himself, where we will rejoice for eternity, knowing that God saved a bunch of sinners like you and I. He said that there'll be no more death, neither sorrow. I want you to think about for a few minutes of time all the things that you got on your heart and your mind at this hour. All the things that's going on in your life. If it wasn't for the grace of God, many of us would have already crumbled. When I was growing up, and many of you, they used to say when things got too hard and too many worries and fears that you would have a nervous breakdown. I believe that we would have been there if it wasn't for the grace of God. How many of you know it's God holding you together on this Sunday morning? It's God that's giving you the hope that you need on this Sunday morning. Otherwise, we would have thrown in the towel a long time ago. I get so tired of everything that's happening around us and all the things that the devil sends to try to tear down our lives that God has built up. And I realize where you and I are today is because God put us there. But the devil chips at our life and tries to tear us down and take away those things that God meant for a blessing. The devil comes to try to take them away from us. And the biggest thing the devil does is get in our minds and put fear and discontent and takes away our hope and tells us that we're a failure and that we'll never be able to succeed again. But the devil is a liar. Amen. Oh, let me preach on a Sunday morning. If I obtain nothing else in my life, I got the best thing I could get at 11 years old when I stepped out behind the pew and walked down an aisle and gave my life to Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. Isn't He the best thing that ever happened to you today? We could live under a cliff somewhere and have God send the ravens to bring us a morsel of bread and some water. And we would still have to look up and say, Lord, I am so blessed. Hallelujah. I am so blessed. You say, Roger, do you want God to take away everything He's given us? And the answer is no. It's not God that's taking it away. It's the devil. He said that there will be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. Some of you, that ought to make you want to shout. How many of you wake up with pain almost every morning in one form or another? Or during the day, Arthur shows up. Some of you know him personally. The rest of you, if God tells you it's coming, you hold on. You'll be introduced to Him one day. Because you see, this body is decaying. It's falling apart. Is it not? And people say, that's so sad for you to preach about that on a Sunday morning, that these bodies are decaying and falling apart. I just want you and I to face reality. But I also want you to know that when this one has taken its last step, when this one has taken in the last bit of oxygen into our lungs and we've exhaled it, we've got a brand new body waiting on us that the Lord shall give to us on that day. You see, we got so much that's going on that we get so caught up in what's going on that we forget where God has brought us from. And where God is going to take us. As I was working this weekend, God laid this upon my heart. I thought, Lord, here's what brought it all together. I was thinking about all the things that's going on in people's lives. And I thought, my goodness, with all these sick kids, with all these laws and things that's being changed in our country to try to take God out of our life. Did you know that presidential candidate Joe Biden said that this book is hatred? That it is nothing more, that this book is hatred toward homosexuals and lesbians, and that we that preach the gospel and stand upon it, one day it will be termed as hate crimes. It's coming today. But let me tell you, in the midst of everything that's going on, We may be charged with some things that our forefathers warned us about. If you stand upon the Word of God, the devil's not going to like it. He's not going to like you. And he's not going to like any building that gathers and preaches from the King James Version of the Bible and believes upon this Word. Folks, let me tell you, the next thing that's coming, and I've seen this week and heard about it, is that with all the changes in the law, they're now saying that being a pedophile is just part of being a nature. And I say, Lord, everything that used to be wrong is now going to be right. And what are we going to preach about if we don't preach from this book? I'm not going to tell you everything's good. That is a lie from hell. What I am going to tell you is that sin is abounding. It is running rampant. And if you're like me, it gets us to a point that we say, Lord, would you just send your son to get the church and take it out of this sin-filled world? But then I'm reminded that I've got loved ones. You've got loved ones that are still lost and undone. And I'm like he said in the book of Revelation in the 22nd chapter and the 20th verse where John said, Amen, even so come, Lord Jesus. But then I say, Lord, would you tarry just another day or two that my people that are lost might get saved? Because let me tell you, when we leave here, I will have no more worries or fears about this world and all that are lost and undone and everything that's going on. If we're going to pray, we better pray today while there is time for this world to be changed. There's not time. Once we're dead, Charlie, we're not going to look down and pray for this world. Can I preach a little while longer, deacons? That's one of the hardest things that people, one of the lies that people have bought into is that my people, when they die, they're up there in heaven looking down and praying for me and encouraging me. Folks, if they were in heaven, if they're in heaven, and they're not looking down, because if they saw where you and I are at today in this world, it would not be heaven for them. It would be hell. Amen? You say, Roger, why you preach like this? Some of y'all remember many years ago in a message here on a Sunday night, the text was no choice. We don't have a choice on what we pick to preach about or not preach about. If it's in God's Word, we better stand upon it. I hear the writer of old Jeremiah say, I come to a point, Jeremiah, I believe, was depressed. How many of y'all been depressed? Jeremiah was depressed. He said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to shut the book. I'm not going to preach. I'm not going to tell anybody about it anymore. But then after he pondered on it for a few minutes, he said, it's like fire shut up in my bones. Oh, how many of you have that fire down in your bones today? That sometimes, no matter how bad it is, I just have to look up and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jack and Singers, for that song. It goes right with the message this morning and his testimony. That it's not something that we orchestrated, but God put it together. To let us know that in the midst of all that you're facing, be encouraged. Because God's got a better day waiting for each and every one. John was there to die. But I believe even though he was dying, when God spoke to him, he was excited. Oh, today when I get down, I go to the Word of God and say, Lord, I need some encouragement. And you know what he does? He whispers sweet peace to me and lets me know that it may be dark and gloomy right now, as it is outside today. It's gloomy, it's overcast, and that's the way it feels like our life has been this whole year. But you know what? Above those clouds, above those shadows, there is a sun that is shining. Hallelujah. the sun is shining, and one day these clouds and all this is going to dissipate. The sun is going to shine on our life again, and we shall come rejoicing, gathering in the sheaves that the Lord has given to us, that people that are lost might be saved, and those concerns that we have, God is able to drive them all away if we'll just hold on. Don't give up this morning, because He's got more in store for us than we ever had. You think about that. He's got more in store for us than we ever had. How many of you will confess on a Sunday morning, God has blessed you so? Amen. He's blessed us so. But even as good as we've been blessed, it's nothing compared to what John saw coming down. That new Jerusalem. That heavenly home that we've got waiting for us. It's there and it's real. Oh, sometimes people say, if I could only hear a word from one of my loved ones that's passed on. You know, that's what the Bible scripture says, that, you know, the rich man said, can you send somebody back and tell them about where I'm at and tell them where Lazarus is at? And the Lord spoke and told him, if they won't believe the prophets, they wouldn't believe one that rose from the dead. But today, I do believe one that rose from the dead. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. It was meant for embarrassment. It was meant for the criminals. But our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, stretched out His hands and crossed His legs so that they could nail Him to a cross, because He knew He'd only be there for a few hours. I hear the writer say, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Jesus wasn't excited about Friday. And we know not if it was Friday. It could have been Thursday. But can I use that in this message? He wasn't excited about Friday. You know what He was excited about? When I close my eyes, I get to go and preach to those that's in the prison. Can I preach a little longer? I'll tell you what His message was. I don't believe that He had to preach long. I believe all He had to do is walk down there to the prisons where they was at and have the keys of death and hell in His hands and show them the nail prints. And they saw Him. And I believe in paradise, there was a hallelujah meeting like they had never had before, because prior to that, there was tears and sorrow. But when the Lord come, He drove all that away. And they were set free from that prison. And He was looking forward to Sunday morning when He would get up out of the grave. Some of you might say, how did He know on Sunday they was going to roll the stone away? He didn't need the stone rolled away. He was able to go right through that grave. I don't know if He came out through the ground or if He went through that stone door that was there. I don't know how He got up, Emerson, but you know what? Ain't no grave going to hold Him down. And it's not going to hold you and I. Just want to let me find a closing point. You see, we're going through so much right now in a world that is filled with sin, where wrong is called right and right is called wrong. John was sent there because he preached the gospel. The Revelator was put there on the Isle of Patmos. And someday it may come to us. I don't know. And I pray God strengthen me that I might be like John and the other patriarchs. Because you know what? We live in a society today that as long as it's popular, people believe it. As long as the crowd goes along with it, people believe it. And as soon as the crowd breaks away, they turn their backs against it. I wonder how many Christians would be able to stand up and say, I am a child of God. when a gun is pointed at your head. People say, it'll never come to that in this country. Hold on. Hold on. You say, that's sad, Roger, to think about that. But yet, Christ said, if you lose your life for my sake, you shall have life, you shall gain it. Because heaven's going to fix it all. I preached many years ago, you know, everywhere Paul went, they threatened him with death. Many years ago, I preached a message, and I said it like this. Folks, when you got everything to look forward to, death doesn't scare you. It doesn't scare you. I pray for your people and for mine. One, that don't know the joy of knowing Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Two, I pray for those that claim to be saved, but yet they run with the world. Amen. And I worry about what's going to happen to the church tomorrow. We've already, the devil has already put limitations on us that we thought we would never experience. Am I preaching the truth? To where the most needed thing there is in society has been pushed aside. And you know why? Because the church is not viewed like she once was. Today it's viewed like a theatrical production, to where people just come together and have a good time. Whatever happened to weeping in the house of the Lord? Whatever happened to praying in the house of the Lord? Whatever happened to preachers preaching with fire and with the Holy Ghost that come down and would save? You can't get saved without the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're just a church member. But praise God, the little church where I got saved had nothing prestigious about it. It was an old house. It had been converted to a church and had the old theater seats that were spring-loaded, that when you stood up, the seat popped up. That helped us get right with God. It was a little push. But yet, those churches were more powerful than the greatest cathedrals that there are today. Because once you take God out of it, and the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you no longer have a church. You just got a theatrical production with the light shows and the smoke machines. And everybody's right. Everybody's good. And there is no sin. There's no wrong. If you feel like it's okay, it's all right. If that doctrine is true, this book is a liar, and Jesus died in vain. But John would testify, it's real. It's real. Look where they put me because I preached the gospel. And they thought, he'll go over there and have a pity party. How many of you had a pity party this year for yourself? Right? When COVID hit and they took people off work, we started saying, oh Lord, what are we going to do? And you know what the devil does? He takes one building block and he puts another one on top of it. And then he puts another one on top of it, and he keeps building it up to where we've got so many lies out there today that are being circulated that we don't know what is the truth and what is a lie. We've got people that has been elected to office that have taken the helm of the controls and said, I am in charge. I'm the boss. I'm God. And what they're doing, mark it down. They're trying to destroy the church, the family, and the middle class out of society. You say, oh, that's depressing. It's better than being on Patmos. But even where you're at, How many of us can steal, Jack, as I close right now? Lift up our hands and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You woke me up this morning. There's food on the table. I've got a roof over my head. I've got clothes to wear. Tomorrow, I might lose it all. But let me rejoice today at what I have been blessed with. And if I lose it tomorrow, you know what the writer of old said? I've been young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous of God forsaken or begging bread. Amen. How many of you grew up with next to nothing? Raise your hands in the house of God. And look where God brought you. And not just that. Look what he's got in store for you. Heaven's going to fix it all, but I do believe this. Before that trumpet sounds, I believe God is going to show the devil who he really is. You might be downtrodden right now, but I'm trying to find clothes, Ron. But you better get your shout ready, because you might be down right now, but God is going to raise up a mighty army that's going to proclaim he is Lord, the devil is a liar, and sin is wrong, and God is right. Amen? He's going to take care of everything that's wrong in your life and in mine. Can we get a song of invitation, Sharon and Rob, for just a minute, and then we'll close today. You see, even in our services, look what the devil has restricted us. You got to have a mask. I don't know if you're smiling, you're frowning, or what you're doing. You could be making faces at me. You could, right? You know, when we was growing up, and I say this, it's comical, but it's true. When we was growing up, if there was a girl that liked you or a guy that liked the girls, they would say, oh, he or she's got the cooties. Look where we're at today. You don't know who's got the cooties. Right? It's affecting everybody. People are scared to go to the store. They're scared to send their kids to school. They're scared to go to church. And you know, that's, I believe a lot of people just use that as an excuse, don't you? I still go to work. I still go to the store. I still go to the junkyard. I ain't been there in a while, but I need to go. I still go. Now in the state of Kentucky, everywhere I go, once I get out of my car and I go in their doors, I got to have a mask on. 5 years ago, if I walked in with a mask, they'd been pulling guns, running me out of the building. Right? It's terrible. But that mask is nothing compared to what's happening in our lives. Some of you realize it. Some of you may not have realized it yet. But John said, if I can endure Patmos, you can endure anything that's going on in your life right now, because heaven is going to fix it all. While we stand, they sing a verse of a song.
seem unbearable. Sometimes you just wonder, how much more can I take?
How much more can I take? And as I tell you where the Lord laid this on my heart, I was out in the garden picking beans. You know, sometimes when you get by yourself, it's the best time with the Lord. And I was just thinking about all the things that's going on. All the things that's happening around us. And you may not see it now, but freedom as we knew it at the beginning of this year may forever be gone. Forever. We have gotten a taste, if I can talk this morning, of what a Sunday morning Christian's life is all about. No Sunday night. We don't have to worry about that. We don't have to worry about Wednesday night. It's all good. We're still in a red state.
Yeah.
Here in Claremont and Hamilton County. In Kentucky, the best thing that came out of it is that they closed the bars down at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
But they give them to 11 o'clock to consume whatever they...
Yeah.
It's like you give them an hour and somebody, you know, you just see some of these guys say maybe 4 or 5, is that a month? Then they get out there and kill somebody with their drunkenness. But many homes are being affected. They're talking on the news about how many businesses will never recover from this. It might be a sign that God is saying, devil, you can do them like you did Job. You can try them, you can test them, but you can't kill them.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
We don't know what all we're going to lose. But look what happened to Job at the end.
Yeah.
Everything, well, I should say everything, because his wife and his children died, his animals died, right?
Yeah.
But of his animals, and if I'm right, of his children, God gave him back twice as much as what he had. And I said, I can't say everything, Emerson, because God didn't give him 2 wives. He only gave him a wife. And some of you are saying, is that right? Why would any man want 2 wives? Right? I'm going to get in trouble now, deacons. And it's not the woman's fault. But did you know that, you know, Becky said this yesterday, I was watching some kind of show, Breaking Beans. And she said, you know, women are jealous. And there ain't no woman going to want another woman in her household. Right? Especially with her man. I get the women saying amen. They ain't said amen all morning. Now look at them. God bless each and every one of you. I hope you're praying for all the things that's going on. We're praying for you. You pray for us. And together we will make it through this. We will. And if we don't make it, God's got better for us in store. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Come back next Sunday morning. And let's find out, church, where's all of our people at? They need to be here lifting up the name of the Lord with us, especially since we only have 1 service a week now. God bless you today.